joined at Deacon Blue with Loaded on Siren 107.3 FM's Midweek Drive. And if you recall last week, of course, we were very excited because this time we actually gave a debut airing to a fabulous tune by a certain songstress called Kirsty Churchill called These Three Words. It was raved over on the Midweek Drive. We said, exciting stuff. We're going to feature the lady live herself the following morning. Tragically, time got in the way and it was one of those peculiarly, bizarrely missed scenarios where Tony McDonough, we love him deeply, we know Manila PR sort of through there, but we were dining on, we got the wrong day, we got a Thursday, got the right disaster. Thankfully, things have been put to rights because the best ever Surrey songstress who has started singing, been singing since an 11-year-old at a family christening, now one of the Big Bed Records' finest scenarios with a tune we're going to hear, it's absolutely fantastic, is online now. Kirsty Churchill, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, how are you?
Delighted to touch base with your good self, Kirsty. And the first question we have to ask, given that we often talk about the video, and I know it's a radio, but the video is very important in this particular instance.
Yeah.
Is it always that wet in Surrey?
Most of the time. Actually, it was really hot today.
Mm.
Yeah, at work, I didn't even have a jumper on. It was really
good
hot outside.
Grief.
Yeah.
October?
I know, it's amazing. It's like a summer morning. Yeah.
It's astounding in every sense of the word from that point of view.
But it normally is wet, yeah.
Yeah, well, because I mean, clearly, I mean, you have a wonderful sort of pose that you strike. I mean, Nick, as an ace photographer of individuals, you've got to say that Kirsty Churchill, she is striking the pose there with a vengeance.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, totally. The holding on of the hat, the wonderful smile, the glorious sort of image. It's just perfect.
You know, it was great fun day, so that's why you got my action shot there.
Yeah.
That was a shot from the video, actually. So, yeah, I think it was in full action.
And indeed, a classic video it is in its own way, which we're going to have a look at now whilst we actually have another airing, because I think it's actually sort of obviously gone to the whole sort of sequence there, for Those Three Words. What three words are they? I know you might well be screaming, Dylan, but we had to deduce the whole sort of thing. But Those Three Words, which Kirsty sings about from the heart in this particular aspect, and I mean, I was emotionally moved beyond words when I first heard this.
Oh, great.
Are you ready to actually have another? In fact, Kirsty, would you like to introduce yourself singing Those
yes.
Three Words?
This is my first debut single called Those Three Words. I hope you enjoy it.
If I say those words, will the magic fade? Will you soon grow tired and walk away? They've been on my lips, but those words, they burn. I've been hurt before, and I have to do.
I think a Midweek Drive round of applause is called for. Yay! Outstanding. But Kirsty, the horses, you know, were they frightened at all? I mean, obviously you dealt well with them in the video and the horses were actually there. I just, a bit concerned,
yeah,
but they were okay.
They were fine. Yeah, they don't mind. They was actually on a yard in Hertfordshire, so they were very tame horses. They wasn't wild horses.
People want to find out how to get hold of it. 20th of November is when it's officially
20th
released.
20th November is the official release date, but you can download it now on iTunes, Deezer. Sorry.
There are so
Spotify,
many ways.
Yeah, so all the sort of all the little local channel sort of thing that you can get on your iPad and things like that. You can download it. You can also buy it from the Big Bed Records website. You can get the CD and the DVD of the single.
A truly wonderful piece of wonderful 21st century culture without which your life would be that little more empty.
Yeah.
Big Bed Records, of course, is there. We noticed, obviously, radio play continuing to go throughout the country, the South, South West, Scotland, East Yorkshire, South London, West Country. You can add Lincolnshire and the world to that now, because obviously
that's
sorted through from that. Dylan, you have a question for Kirsty, because you confused us to making sure you follow Kirsty in the right Facebook manner.
So yes, I
throw this question out there.
Well, all right. I was trying to find you on Facebook, as you kind of do, trying to because I couldn't find your website. That's the thing. So, firstly, do you have a website?
It's not a website. It's just a page, a musician page on Facebook, with my name, Kirsty Churchill. You should be able to just type it in and find it.
I've already liked you, Kirsty.
Yes, okay. I've got it now. Yeah, and also actually, I did notice as well that you've got quite a lot of stuff on YouTube that people can download. Do you find that affects the sort of saleability, so people are getting your material free, or does it?
Well, we've only got the video on YouTube, so you can't actually download anything from YouTube. I think there is a link that you can link to the Big Bed Records website, which is there you can buy the single. But, you know, if you've got the links, like I said, to iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon and Spotify and Deezer, you can download the song on that as well. So you can only listen to the single. YouTube. So
don't get confused, Kirsty, please.
Confused,
that's time of day. You know, we're already going into sort of sand dog material, all sorts of layers. Any relation to Winston? Because obviously you sort of pull up Churchill.
Unfortunately not. We have the Winston Churchill head on our fireplace, and that's about it. That's the only connection we have with him.
Hasten to add, it's not his real head, in case you're wondering. Yeah, that's a bit sick, isn't it? Yeah, that's a bit sort of, you know, we've got Winston Churchill's real head, a sort of shrunken one. It's sort of there.
It's a little head on our mantelpiece.
Bronze one. There's only so much you can take with that. Nick, as a photographer, any thoughts from yourself for Kirsty?
Oh, well, I think we could actually do some nice stuff together. That much I do think, yeah.
Okay.
Taken out of context, that can be a very dangerous thing to actually say. So let's
Alex
qualify
the...
things. You've got to be sensitive to these kind of things.
Kirsty, she's plugged in. She knows what I'm on about.
I know what you're on about.
We're artists, man. We're artists.
Yeah, like I say, if you wanted to do that, you can contact Big Bed Records and they can organise that. So that's no problem at all.
Well, there you are, you see. We'll work our way through it. And Kat, from the point of view of your wonderful PR stuff and, of course, the rock artist and so on, I know it's a toe-tapping tune, I think we'd say.
Absolutely lovely dance tune, wasn't it? I'm sure it'd be very popular with big people for downloads, and I think Kirsty's doing exactly the right thing, getting it out there on all the different channels, you know, YouTube, get it heard, get it, you know, played on air, and hope people download it. So well done.
If they don't, as we said, what for them? Steve, I know you're a serious musician, you're working through that, you're sort of thinking, a bit like Lurch, actually, in the Addams Family. That was his response, really. Disco and Steve. But from your own perspective, Steve, anything you'd like to add to this young, charming individual songstress making her debut and entering into the wonderful world of music?
I actually think that what you said there is completely... You know, you said that with me being a real artist and Kirsty, you know, is just a pop singer.
She's never just a pop singer.
I think that's what you were trying to hint at. And I was going to say, actually, she's got a beautiful voice. And I think herself, her musical talent and her production team are awesome.
Kirsty comes from a man with a broken foot.
You know, I just think the sound is so well produced. I'm envious of that sort of production level, actually. It's brilliant.
Well, thank you.
And what about Sir Tom Jones at the end?
Sir Tom Jones? Of course. Yes. I thought you were thinking a remix version we haven't actually done as yet. I thought, where are we going with this? Let's go to
Sir Tom.
To indeed, you know, not Phil, but our other man, Zach.
Jake.
Sorry, Kirsty, it's Jake's first show. I've had lots of difficulty with names, but carry on, Jake.
Right. Well, straight from the off, well polished tune. It got a really interesting beat to it. You can really hook your teeth in it and get into the groove quite easily, lock yourself in and just kind of get lost within the track for a few minutes of it. It's if that's your thing, it's definitely something to check out again on Big Bed Records, as you said, again, like a smaller indie label, saying that everyone loves to support because they're doing good things. And just in general, getting it out there in the right places, as you mentioned, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Apple Music. Obviously, get it straight up on Big Bear Records. Yeah, it's probably available on a Bandcamp
somewhere.
You
liked it. It's
great stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's generous. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just
go for it now.
If that's what you like.
You'll promote it for me. Yeah, great.
If you're the A&R man, Greg Power, for Big Bear Records, don't worry. It's all right. We'll just do it for you in Lincolnshire.
Don't worry.
Sorted to do.
Represent.
Yeah, exactly. You were, of course, the first signing for Big Bear Records, actually.
I am the first signing.
Yep.
So it's all exciting for them and for me, and I'm just grateful that, you know, they're taking me as their first signing. So hopefully we can sort of progress Big Bear Records as well from the singles that we're making, because Big Bear Records, it's about making good quality singles rather than albums. So hopefully we can achieve something good out of these singles that we're releasing.
Kirsty, it's been fabulous actually, basically, with a good sell. Steve, you got another question?
Yeah, just a quick one, Kirsty. I'd love to know which studio you used.
We used S Block Publishing Studios, which is in Ealing, and my publisher is Hank. He's a co-writer of my song. He wrote that with Mark Herbert, who owns Big Bear Records, and he is the founder of Naughty Boy. We had the pleasure of being able to work with the people with such high profile. So,
you can't beat a bit of Naughty Boy, as we frequently say it.
Yeah. Great studio. Keep using them.
And, of course, in case you're wondering, it's N-A-W-T-Y, as in Naughty Boy.
Yeah, N-A-W-T-Y.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's you've got to keep it real, otherwise good
Lord. We're very lucky to be able to work with somebody that, you know, works alongside him and, founded Naughty Boy himself. So we're actually in the same studio block as Naughty Boy has his studio, so that's pretty exciting too.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Adds the quality beyond measure. Kirsty, two final questions for your good self. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your midweek drive debut?
It's been the highlight of my evening.
Well, there we are. It's wonderful. So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future and following you onwards through the delights of...
Please keep following me and, you know, supporting me in my journey. And hopefully we'll have some more songs for you to play soon. And, you know, keep supporting me. And I'm really grateful for all your support and help.
Yeah, you see, and those three words, well, you know, I think you kind of deduced what they actually were. Of course, existential psychoanalysis works. That's the key thing. Those three words, you're always looking for that sort of stuff. Only kidding. It's a different light, Ali. Coming up next, we're going over to California. We'll find out a little bit more about what Phil Leonis is making about life, the universe, and various other factors. Kirsty will hopefully return from that perspective in the very near future. And at least we can say that Tony McDonough will be able to rest easy this evening, because finally we've got the day sorted. Yeah. Everything else is good and it has worked. Kirsty Churchill has made us R&W.
Yay!
Sound of Alphaville and Forever Young, almost dedicated to Kirsty Churchill, or maybe Phil Leonis, our Ace Director from Los Angeles. Phil, good morning. How are we?
I'm okay. I'm just arranging Neville Chamberlain's head, which is on my mantelpiece.
Is that the real Neville Chamberlain's head on your mantelpiece, then? The shrunken version?
No. Do you know how you can tell that's a lie? Let's open this up for discussion in the booth there. How do you know that that is a lie.
I don't know. Dylan, how do you know that Phil doesn't actually have Neville Chamberlain's head on his mantelpiece?
Because I've got it on mine.
Well, that's a very specific. That's a very specific way of knowing. I'm thinking of something more about the sentence that I said that revealed that it could not be true.
Hmm.
Because everything you say is a lie, therefore no.
Well, no, because I live in Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles, and why would I have a mantelpiece? We don't have fireplaces. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Once again, Phil, you just sort of strike that. You take that baseball bat and you just strike the thing out of the thing for another home run.
Truly that tremendous. That should have been my closing salvo. Mm-hmm. I mean.
But you've had to go with Lily Holloman doing fantastic stuff in plays as well around the whole base. So well done to Lily, who, as we see, is doing outstanding work as far as the theatrical scene in Los Angeles is concerned. And we know you must be very pleased for her. As we are.
Yes. I mean, I'm more pleased for me because, you know, as a theater widow, spending long hours and days and weeks alone as your partner goes off to trod the boards, it's a relief to see how good it is. My sacrifice is worth it. It always is, of course. It always is more than worth it. But yeah, this is a truly spectacular show. And what I love about it, and proof of how important it is already the early reviews are so mixed, and they're so mixed along gender lines, where many traditional male theater critics are finding some of the events in the second act of this mythological Western to be unbelievable, a problem they never would have had with, John Ford, John Wayne Westerns, which are, of course, are every bit as unbelievable, but we understand that they're part of the mythos. Here, when you're dealing with inherent contradictions of what it means to be a woman, never mind in the Old West, but in contemporary society, suddenly these male critics stop analyzing it as myth and start just looking at it as a plot, much like sometimes we men have a tendency to do with actual women. But it's such a rich piece and beautiful to behold. And one of the best things of all is when a Pulitzer-winning playwright, Tony-nominated, Oscar-nominated, as Beth Henley is, when you get to witness her go to your lady love, which Lily Holloman is in my case, and say to Lily that in the 25 years since this play first debuted and went to Broadway, Lily and her co-star are the first two lead actresses to really understand the play's ending. And that sends shivers.
The play is called Abundance, and I think Lily Holloman deserves a round of applause for actually taking part in a sensational production. Well done. And it's performing at where, Phil? So if people actually want to get instantly onto the jet, I mean, Steve could well be onto this, obviously, with his broken foot in one hand and his passport in the other. He'll be flying across to Los Angeles. Where do they actually see Lily Holloman perform?
Well, if they survive the York maze, they then, they go to Heathrow, they go to Gatwick, and they fly to Los Angeles or to John Wayne Airport, which is in Orange County, which is almost walking distance from the theater. Now, I don't know if you wanted all that information. I mean, I guess they could consult some travel website for all that information.
Yeah, but that's, we like to feel that we provide useful information for the Lincoln the Stone Siren, and I think that's very useful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they go to South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, which really, thank goodness, we are at a time when theater is vibrant here in Los Angeles. But for a long time, it was not a great theater town, as we say. And if you were going to go see great equity theater, meaning that it was a union production where the actors are making a living and playing to big, enthusiastic audiences, you had to go to South Coast Rep. It was really the first jewel in Southern California theater. And many shows, like the original production of Abundance, launched at South Coast Rep before ending up going to Broadway and then touring around the world. So it's great. It's the third time she's been there, and it's the biggest role she's ever played on stage. And It. Okay, can I give a spoiler? Can I give a spoiler? This is
yes.
What a fantastic actress she is, and it'll. I mean, you've got so many artists there, and people who are interested in the arts and in creative expression. One night, I got home from teaching one of the acting classes I teach, and Lily was here, and she was sitting in the dark, and I went, uh-oh, you know, and but still very taken by the thoughts, I'm sure, of rehearsing this play, and I asked her, "What's on your face?" And she said, "What?" I said, "Is something on your face?" And she turned on a light, and there was nothing on her face. There was nothing, and I said, "Oh my goodness, it's crazy. I thought you had a tattoo all over your chin." And at that point, she revealed to me, well, my character in the second act of the play has a tattoo all over her chin.
Outrageous.
And she didn't have it, but she was so in character in that moment when I came in that she had it on her face. How is that?
It's quite phenomenal. It's time to actually cue in another example of Sound Dog. We actually promised the listener we'd actually feature another little excerpt from this.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Yeah? I've been raving about this around here all day. So please.
Share with us what this particular aspect comes across from.
Well, Steve was saying, because he was the person that did the kind of mix, he was saying that was there's a lot of shopping centre in there, but that pulsing is a theme that goes through the entire piece, and it drifts in and out. And as you come to the end of the whole symphony, if we're going to call it that, I mean, every time I mention symphony, Steve does draws in breath, and I'm probably doing himself a disfavour there. You hear that theme coming again, you think, ah, there it is. It's just that little familiarity that comes.
Phil Linus, we set you some prep for this show, having a chance to actually access the whole scenario, so the floor is now yours. Quiz away, sir. Quiz away. After all, Steve Kirkley has already checked out some of your movies on the internet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for that, I can only say I'm sorry. But, I'm so interested in the origin of this, the inspiration of this. I think the importance of it, and yes, I said importance, is staggering because, you know, we live in this age where everything seems to be driven visually, and not just driven visually, but as a mediated experience. I mean, you can't, we're hearing headlines every day about people getting killed, getting hit by cars because they're not paying attention due to their selfie sticks, right? They even when they are places, they have to mediate them for later. Like, this was me in front of this thing, and then only later looking at that thing that they were at.
Sure.
Sound. I mean, it all begins with sound. I mean, in the beginning, there was the word, right? Sounds give birth to universes. So please share with me the inspiration behind this and why you know, you thought this would be so powerful.
Yeah, well, I've always been, you know, fascinated by sound. I think since, as you say, sound in the beginning, since the womb. You know, I believe Mark Burland sang about, he was dancing in the womb, you know. I think that was one of his early tracks. And I think that's, you know, I've always had a passion for sound. Music, sure, you know, I've done the songwriting thing. I've done the, you know, pick up the electric guitar and blow the neighbours away. I've done all of that, you know. But working with sound as an element in music is something I'm particularly fond of. And so the inspiration for this, Dylan, who sat next to me here, was the guy that sort of brought the whole notion about. And so he explained what he wanted to do. So in a way, he sort of directed the coordination between the students and myself. And, of course, he's put up the web page, the blog and everything, where we sort of explore certain things about the production. So the inspiration was really to get students totally unpolished recordings. This was on their very first day, I believe, in the university, and they all went out and they just recorded with mobile phones, no special equipment or anything. They went out with mobile phones, and then I got these sound clips back, and I had to try and make head and tail of about 200 different sound clips, some of which were completely flawed, which was beautiful because I could use some of that flawed sound and manipulate it. And other pieces were really well recorded, actually, and I included those. So I tried to include all the student work is there at some point in the production. And then, of course, I just built around that, and I built a framework, and I built around that. And that's the result, you know, that you hear now.
I think that one of the impacts, and maybe this is the era in which we live, that if you take the sounds of a locale that people are familiar with and that take for granted, and get them to hear them in a different way, then they may actually start listening to the authentic sounds again, if they ever have before. I'm always lecturing my acting students that so much of it comes back to acting isn't about how you say the lines you're given, it's about listening and being affected. And one of the things that confounds them is, well, but the other actor's not saying anything. So listen, what are you hearing? Well, silence. Okay, you're not. There's actually a lot of sounds all around us, but how is that silence affecting you? And, you know, getting in touch with this, because everything we're hearing, whether we're blocking it out or not, whether we're mediating our lives or not, everything we're hearing is affecting us on some energetic level and some emotional level. And you can hear, I'm terribly excited about this. Will it be expanding effort?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, what we could do with, actually, the next stage of the process, I think, would be we took these recordings from untutored students with their equipment. What would be really nice now would be to revisit the project, you know, probably a slightly different theme or whatever, but with the students providing, shall we say, crisp recordings. And that would be quite interesting to hear. I think we'd be able to hear how they progressed as well.
Jake, does that resonate with yourself?
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, it's an idea that I can get behind as a general creative concept, and also as an idea for a student project to get involved with outside influences and sound artists, and yeah, just a great idea.
What a great way to learn about the students too, based on what they bring in.
Yeah, I think.
What do they gravitate towards?
I think at the outset, you know, they've gravitated towards chaos, but because a lot of the recordings had themselves talking over, like you've just said that a lot of people aren't aware of the sound around them. So they'd be told to go and record something, and they'd record something. But instead of recording it carefully, they would record it for like 2 or 3 seconds and then start talking. Some of the interesting things were was that I was able to bring some of that accidental talking is in there, you know. So I've actually warped it and pitch stretched it, and, you know, time stretched it and pitched it, and included.
Oh, that was the, I thought I heard something like that earlier, yeah. And I was checking the other tabs that I had open, you know, thinking, oh, you know, gosh darn pop-ups or auto players on other pages.
Yeah, what those weird sounds.
Yeah. No, that was really, really... Well, there's an interesting audio experiment. It's just all the auto players being mingled together on different pages that you open.
Yeah.
Dylan, you must be very happy with how this has developed.
I am extraordinarily happy because as an educationalist, as a sort of an academic, I suppose, one of the difficulties that we always face is teaching creativity. It's that thing that you can never teach. You can give people the tools to create, be creative. But I think the only thing we can do really is to show students examples of creativity and give them the opportunity to work with creative people. And it's that collaboration which has been really pleasing to see. I started off by saying this is something that I wanted to give students. And I think it's actually something that both me and Steve have also gained a lot from, understanding and working practices and lots of things. So it's been a great experience.
Fantastic, yeah.
So very briefly, anything else you'd like to add or bring in with respect to Nick and Kat, etc.? The floor is still yours, Phil Leonis.
Well, just a few quick hits, because I do see that we're running out of time. The phrase common sense will out. Was offered earlier in hope regarding, I believe, the prospects of a President Trump. I am at the point where I think common sense is a contradiction in terms. I find common sense to be one of the most uncommon commodities these days. And so I really, when someone embodies common sense, just like when someone embodies true decency, I find that I cannot hold these people close enough to myself. I will simply allude, because I want to get to other more important stuff, but Andy McDowell, in addition to having been the star of many famous movies and the mother of one of your musical selections.
Rainy Qualley. Rainy Qualley.
She's also the punchline to my second all-time favorite joke. So maybe on a future installment, I'll share that joke with you. It was asked of me earlier when you played an identification that I recorded about how on the Midweek Drive the truth is out there, sometimes way out there, that no one would understand what that means, who I am, why I'm saying that. Of course, I am the director of a documentary about consciousness, comedy, and conspiracy called The Truth Is Out There, and I have to admit that a conspiracy theory that I've held near and dear to my heart got absolutely scuttled this week, and it involved the time change. I believed, you know, there was a time when we were in lockstep with the rest of the world about when we changed our clocks, and then President George W. Bush pushed it back into November, or moved it back just a little bit, or moved it forward, or something he did to change it. And my conspiracy theory all along was that he had done it to ruin Halloween. It still actually holds. My conspiracy theory still holds, because we don't change our clocks until literally after Halloween ends. And so he wanted to deny the darkness that kids enjoy going out and partying and trick-or-treating in. He makes it stay dark or light way too late, so kids can't enjoy Halloween, which, of course, is a pagan holiday, and as a evangelical Christian, he was opposed to pagan holidays. That's my conspiracy theory about Halloween.
Well, just for yourself, Phil, a very scary end to the show.
Time to go home, time to go home. Don't scream! Time to go home.
Bridget's in the house.
Time to go home, and he's waving goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Do you have to cut that out of the podcast?
Tiny Penny's going home now, but he's coming again soon.
Why
Goodbye, children.
Why would we?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's Gladys Whitred. Marvellous.
Do you have to cut that out of the podcast?
I think we'll leave it in. Right, Dylan, have you enjoyed your first ever midweek drive?
I've enjoyed it immensely. I've had some great conversations. I've met some very intellectual new people, without a shadow of doubt.
Up to standard, Nick, do you think, Nick Elliott?
Oh, definitely, okay. Yeah.
Quick mention for your fans in Norwich.
Oh, yeah, Barry and Jackie Hooks, who hopefully are tuning in.
Cat's podcast. And Kat, okay for you?
It's been absolutely wonderful.
Excellent. Zach, Jake or Phil, triple whammy, have you enjoyed your piece?
It's been great. Good. I rate it 8.
Oh, very stylish. Oh,
it's a poet as well.
And the man that is Steve Kirkby, how are you? Has it lasted?
Footloose.
Fancy free. Yeah. Excellent, that's it. Yeah. Okay, Phil, many thanks indeed. We'll take it. You'll be back with us next week. Have you had a reasonably interesting time yourself?
If Neville Chamberlain says I will return next week.
Exactly. More great stuff coming up as far as the programme is actually concerned. And just stay tuned, because Siren FM brings you the very best, because frankly you deserve no less. That's it. Through Dylan Royce, Steve Kirkby and Jake and obviously Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Tom Piercy, Anna Tandre, Kirsty Churchill and Phil Liz. And you could sell to your list, so that's it. We're out of here with Groove Armada. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye.